Hello, everybody. I'm really about 3,000 miles away, but I feel very close to you today. Made one by the Spirit, we may actually be thinking the same thoughts and feeling the same feelings. I was born, as you know, without any fanfare, three generations ago in the tiny village of Fairground in Norfolk County in the province of Ontario on February the 5th, 1900. I doubt if anyone paid any attention then or as I grew up and made the letter L, quite unawares the slender thread that bound many lives together. You see, my mother was Laura, and my sister, Lita, my first wife, also Lita, and my one sister-in-law, Lila, and the other, Alina. My mother-in-law of my first marriage was a Lizzie, and my second wife was a Lillian, whom you will be glad to listen to when I am done. Seven L's in a row, and everyone happy. Being born three generations ago, you will not be surprised that what was very commonplace in my childhood, you would have to go to a museum to see today. The changes have been wonderful. Yet if I could be young again, I would choose the same setting, the same parents, and yes, the same grandparents that I had long ago. When my grandmother Park died in 1916, she made the final minister said, "I have never presided at a funeral where the bones of the departed seem so sacred." You see, she was a devout Christian and her whole life showed it. My grandfather, a man of Christian faith but realist, claimed that he could do 9 feet in a standing broad jump backwards, and that in the days of his strength, he once walked 50 miles in a day and arrived ahead of the stagecoach. I wish I had inherited his stamina. But it was my good fortune to grow up as virtually twins together with my brother Wilford, who was only 13 and a half months younger than I was. My mind goes back to that day when as little chaps, we decided on a warm day to walk the quarter mile up to my grandmother Cutler's, the only woman, by the way, who wore the name Mehetabel. Being warm, Wilford and I thought it appropriate to take off the single garment my mother had made for us, and carrying it over our shoulders, marched stark naked into town. Fortunately, a man who knew us gave us an apple apiece to go home again. You see, we didn't know how fastidious Wilford would become in the days to be. I remember also one day we raced him, I chased him a block or two down the road, and he chased me back. That race ended in a dead heat, and neither dared challenge the other to another race, not knowing what the occasion, the outcome might be. We were both experienced wrestlers and boxers, but we never tried to find out who of us was best. Eventually, we were both at Toronto University at the same time. Wilford became for 2 years president of the Great Christian Association, which numbered nearly 2,000 students, and he graduated in 1927, third in a class of roughly 150 would-be doctors. We were good scholars. I myself got my BA in 1925, my MA in 26, and my graduation diploma in 27, with 6 prizes, about 2 years sooner than would normally be the case. But we had learned to put our noses to the grindstone on the farm, where I remember one long summer rising a quarter to five to get the cows and start the day. We would have agreed, I think, with that Scottish Chancellor who wrote Peter Pan and said, "There may be things more fun than hard work, but I don't know what they are." Wilfrid not only was an aristocrat by birth, a patrician in bearing, and handsome by nature, but he was a truly good man who gave more than his share of time to the Christian Church. He did not try to cheat his fellows, but as Tennyson said, he broke his birth's invidious bar and breasted the blows of circumstance, rising to eminence in his profession the hard way. Quite content, we were comrades in adversity, living together for 4 happy years in a third floor single room at 18 Grosvenor Street. Maybe that limited life forced him into marriage a year sooner than myself. Certainly it didn't interfere with our selling wherever cooking utensils each of the summers, by which we financed our winters at college. Wilfrid may have done a little better than I did, winning first prize for a specific period, though I topped the best for the season. The most interesting experience I had was at Deep River, the tragic account of rheumatic fever, which laid him low just after graduation, which resulted in months under a tent in my father's front fairground yard, and the 16 aspirins a day, which he took for many day weeks before he regained his health, and a deepened sympathy for those whose illness robs them of participation in the busy life of mortal man. It was a God-given succession of circumstances which brought him from Brownsville to Whitby, where I was minister during the war years, and on to Deep River, where he designed the hospital which was to be built in Canada's first hush-hush atomic adventure, and then in 1949 to the United States, where he became an American doctor in Minneapolis, working on a federally provided grant to improve the hundreds of nursing homes for the unfortunate and the elderly. Not because he not only became famous in this work, but during that period he wrote about 1,200 articles, taking pride in the fact that he could write profoundly and accurately articles which laymen without scientific training could readily understand. God bless his memory and his contribution. If you would like a concluding antidote for those whose family line has once Canadian, but now is largely American, let that word be a word from my sainted mother. I was preaching anniversary sermons one Sunday for Wilfrid in his Homeville days, and a sensitive woman remarked concerning Wilfrid, and I presumably, "It doesn't seem fair that one mother should have 2 such good boys." My mother answered, "I have 3 good boys." Monty, too, deserved to be remembered. He had more than his share of painful loss and bad luck, but he never forgot the faith in which he had been nurtured, nor the standards of righteousness by which he chose to live. "I have 3 good boys." May your mothers be able to say something like that of you too, for it is as personal righteousness that makes us an individual and a nation great, not military might, not wealth, but the personal character of its citizens. On that foundation and that alone will America remain strong and the name Park retain the respect of others. Greetings to you all from one who has tried to serve the highest with great joy. I close now. My wife, whose goodness and ability I have marveled at for 23 years, now has something to say to you, and you will be wise to listen.
Today I'm thinking of all of you together and remembering the good times we had at Barbara and Robert's wedding 10 years ago, Kitchener at Betty's daughter Jennifer's home and at the camp at Sand Hills 5 years ago. Our pictures of Barbara and Robert climbing the hills with the children and the thoughts of the our dinner and our talk around the table all afternoon are really remember the times of friendship we had together. We've enjoyed visits of Robert and Barbara and family, of Warren and Patty and the boys. Come again when you can, and you are all welcome. Evelyn and Erky were with us in Florida last spring, as you know. We enjoyed their company and are sorry we cannot be with them and all of you. We did appreciate Douglas' phone call a month ago to reassure us of the invitation to be a part of the reunion. I let Clifford make the decision of our being part of the reunion. Bonnie had strongly said that her dad shouldn't go so far to California, so she's happy about his decision. She understands our desires to be with you all, but is caring of her father's health. I've never been to California, so of course I wanted to be with you, as Clifford did too. I guess we have to accept our years, but I assure you both that we both feel much better than our birthday numbers say. Our love to all of you, and hope we can see you at any time in London or Florida.
Cheers.